All right, as we look at Jeremiah, I want us to begin with a little bit of an introduction. So tonight's lesson really is introductory. We're not going to get into much of the book at all. But in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest that was priest of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin." All right, now, I want us to just stop for a minute and look at our chart here. This is our chart of the kings, and I want you to see where Jeremiah fits into all this. All right, we've gone over this on Sunday night. Many of you are familiar with it, but those of you who aren't, I'll just give you some basics of what this chart's all about. You had to start out with the united kingdom of Saul, and then David and Solomon, then the kingdom divided. The northern kingdom is known as Israel. The southern kingdom is known as Judah. And Rehoboam was the first king down here. Jeroboam was the first king up here. All right, and then they worked their way through. All of the northern kingdom kings were evil. There wasn't any of them that were good. Jeroboam, who can tell me what Jeroboam did that was started him off on a bad track? Golden calves. All right. One was way up here in Dan. The other one was in Bethel down here. So Dan and Bethel were the two golden calves. And so that got them on the wrong foot. And all through here, none of the kings gave up those golden calves. Then they got into Ahab and they started worshiping Baal and a lot of other gods as well. But all through that time, they still worshiped those golden calves. And that's why you read again and again and again throughout the Bible that this Jeroboam caused Israel to sin. And then they eventually went into captivity in 722, and we're going to kind of start there this evening, but I'm just giving you some background here. Then in the southern kingdom, there were several good kings, and on this chart I don't have marked which ones were good and evil, but on the big chart that we hang up in church I do. But several of them were pretty good kings. Throughout the red one is Athaliah. She was an evil woman. She was the only queen of any of that reigned in Israel. And she was wicked. Because who was her parents?
Jezebel
and Ahab. Ahab and Jezebel were her parents. So it was an alliance made. And Jehoshaphat made an alliance with Ahab and had Jeroboam, his son, marry into that family, and Athaliah ends up on the throne, and she kills all of her kids so that she can be on the throne, or she thinks she does, and Joash was one that survived, and then Joash was a pretty good king. They work their way through, and the kings go up and down, some good ones, some bad ones, but then we get to Manasseh. Manasseh was probably the worst of all of them, maybe worse than any of them. But Manasseh, then, God sent him off to Babylon, and before the Babylonian captivity, the Babylonians came and took him into captivity, just kind of out of nowhere. And he repented, got right with God, and God forgave him and sent him back to Israel. But he had done so much evil in setting up all kinds of idolatry in Judah during that time that the people never turned back to God. They did a little bit in their outwardly, but then Josiah, his grandson, Josiah, had a revival during Josiah's life and ministry, and that's when Jeremiah and Josiah were probably born in the same year. Very, very likely that Jeremiah and Josiah were very, very close together. So was Zephaniah. Habakkuk was actually a little bit before them. I should have had those turned around. He was probably a little bit older than these guys. But Zephaniah, Jeremiah, and Josiah were very closely in age. And Josiah, there was a revival during his reign, and he tried to get the people to do right and follow God and walk with God, and they had a really great revival. And you know, a lot of people think, well, Josiah was one of the best kings there was, and he himself probably was, but the problem was that the people were only doing it from the outside, and they didn't have it in their heart, and none of his kids had it in their heart. Three of these boys here, Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, are all three sons of his, and they were all evil. And so was Jeconiah, who was Jehoiakim's son. All of these were evil kings. And yet Josiah was one of the best. And, you know, it's sad. But that's what's happened. But this lays the foundation of what's coming on. Jeremiah's during this time. And God gave Jeremiah the ministry to minister to these people and warn them, you're going to go to captivity, you're going to go into captivity. And they wouldn't listen, they wouldn't listen, they wouldn't listen. And he kept warning them. And one of the things that, you know, just kind of come to light in my mind in, as I was reading through Jeremiah again, is that Jeremiah's ministry covers 41 years. And during those 41 years of his ministry, you know, you read the book of Jeremiah and you think, boy, he says the same thing again and again and again. Yeah, but it might have been 4 years apart, or 5 years apart, or 10 years apart. But he's saying the same thing over and over, reminding these people, you got to get right with God, or you're going to go into captivity. And nobody would believe him. They cursed him and hated him, didn't want to listen to him. But for 40 years, Jeremiah preached, and sure enough, God sent them into captivity, just like he said he would. And it was a tragic, sad time during those years. Now, that gives us a basic idea. Let me just finish off here. So Jehoiakim only reigned for 3 months. Jehoiakim was 11 years. Jehoiachin was only 3 months. And then Zedekiah for 11 years. And all of them evil. And then at the end of Zedekiah's 11 years, they went into captivity. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Everything was leveled up flat, burned all the buildings, and Jerusalem's left a rubble mess. And it wasn't until years later that when they came back in 536 to rebuild the temple, and it took them several years to do that, but they got the temple all finished by a few years later. And Zechariah and Haggai preached during this time to get the people revived so they'd get the temple finished. And then the second return was with Ezra, and he came back to teach them, but this was a long time later, several years later. And then Nehemiah came back even later yet, and Nehemiah started and built up the wall of Jerusalem. So many, many years elapsed between the temple rebuilding and the wall rebuilding. So the temple was just there with no protection around it all at that time. And the book of Malachi comes down a little later. Okay? So that kind of gives you an overview. Now, Peter, you can turn it to the other one, and we'll continue on with our lesson here tonight. So I wanted you to see that overview before we look at the outline of what we're considering here this evening. And I want us to see, first of all, the national setting. All right, so I've got my outline up in the corner here for the introduction here, the national setting. Now, you can see again on the map. Let me just cover this a little bit. Israel went into captivity into Assyria, and so that was in 721. When, or 721, 722, depending on who you look at. But it was in that time when they went up here to Assyria and they dispersed over the whole world. And those 10 tribes never really have come back. And the Jews are still scattered all over the world and people all over the world, even in our country from there. And then during Jeremiah's life, he was ministering in Jerusalem area and warning the people, you're going to go to Babylon if you don't turn, do right, and they wouldn't listen. And so the long trek to Babylon, and that happened, you know, at the end of the book of Jeremiah, they all go into captivity. We'll see this. So that kind of gives you an idea of where all this is headed. Now, we'll bring out some principles in it, but there's quite a bit of information here tonight I want you to see that will help you to be able to just grasp the book of Jeremiah. In order to understand this book, we really need to have a historical understanding of what was taking place and all of these things that were taking place here. In 721, the Assyrians conquered Israel and took them into captivity. And you can read about that in 2 Kings 17, 1-4. The captivity, when they finally, Hoshea was defeated by the Assyrians, and the rest of what was left of Israel was taken into captivity and dispersed throughout Assyria. And that was in 721. And the Assyrians proceeded then to invade and conquer the cities of Judah. And in 701, in answer to Hezekiah's prayer, the Lord killed 185,000 of the Assyrians in Samaria, or in then Jerusalem. Remember when he prayed there that God would deliver them from the invasions that were surrounding them, and God delivered them and gave them victory there, and that was in 701. Now, the birth of Jeremiah was very likely in the year 648. Now, remember, these dates are going backwards because it was B.C., and so don't get confused in that. So in 648, when Jeremiah was born, and that was the same time, very likely the same time when Josiah was born, the king. Josiah the king was born, and also Zedekiah, was it? The prophet. not Zedekiah. Anyway, Zephaniah. And I got it later on. We'll talk a little later. All right, so the birth of Jeremiah here. Now, he was born during the reign of wicked King Manasseh. All right, so Manasseh was on the throne, and Jeremiah was born during that time in 648. Now, Zephaniah was the other guy I was looking for here, Josiah and Zephaniah. And then Habakkuk, I mentioned the book of Habakkuk in the Bible. That was about the same time. Habakkuk was just a little bit older than these guys. Now, his father was Hilkiah the priest. Notice there in verse 1 again, it says he was the son of Hilkiah the priest that were in Anathoth. All right, now, Anathoth was just north of Jerusalem. Next week we'll have another map that's a little bit more detailed and it'll show it. It was just north of Jerusalem. Where Anathoth was, where he was born, and he was born to Hilkiah the priest. Now, this afternoon, as I was reviewing this, I thought, Hilkiah, yeah, there's another Hilkiah. And apparently, there were several Hilkiahs that were priests. And the other one that is mentioned a little bit later on in the book apparently was not his father, but it was just another priest that was named Hilkiah. It doesn't appear that they were both the same man. But he was born there in Anathoth. And again, we'll deal in more detail with that. Today we're just having an overview. Jeremiah's call into the ministry. God called him to prophesy when he was about 20 or 21 years old. Alright, so he was just a young man. And that was in the year 627. That was in the 13th year of Josiah. So Josiah was how old when he took the throne? Anybody remember? All right, he was 8 when he took the throne, and then it was in his 13th year that Jeremiah then was called of God to begin his ministry. And then he prophesied there until the captivity, when the people were taken into captivity. See in verse number 2, it says of our text here, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. All right, so he began his ministry then in the 13th year of Josiah. And it was a difficult ministry. I've entitled the message, and it doesn't show up on this one here, but all the other screens will have it, Jeremiah, the fruitless prophet. For 41 years, he prophesied and preached, and he had absolutely no converts that are recorded. Now, there were two or three people that were his friends, but they weren't converted by his preaching. One of his friends was Ebel Melech. I never can pronounce that guy. He was an Ethiopian fella that helped him out of the dungeon. Remember that? There was another friend of his was Barak, who helped him to write down his book when he wrote his book. And that was when Jehoiakim burned the book in 604. It was written by Baruch, who was a friend of his. So he had two or three friends, and there were times when people actually kind of felt sorry for him and sided with him to protect him, but God was just motivating them to do that. They weren't really his true blue friends. They just felt sorry for him at different times, and God used that for his protection and his help. But it was a very difficult ministry, you know, living among the ungodly people there. And some of his greatest enemies were the people of Anathoth, his own hometown. They were the ones that were out to get him and out to kill him, and because they didn't like what he was preaching. And the people, again and again and again, he preached, you need to get right with God, you need to get right with God, and they refused. They flat out refused to get right with God. And sometimes they would say, no, we're going to keep on serving our gods. We like the ones we're doing. And they just blatantly reject what God has to say. And so a very discouraging ministry. And though his ministry was one of almost constant persecution and danger, he remained faithful to the Lord. Now, let's just ponder that a moment. This should encourage us. You know, living for the Lord and serving Him can be difficult, but we must remain faithful no matter what comes. It's not easy to live for God in this day. If you're going to live a godly life and live a righteous life, people are not going to like that. People are going to think you're weird. They're going to call you names behind your back, maybe to your face. And they're going to give you a difficult time. And the truth is, we may be facing in short days here serious persecution where we are literally persecuted like many people in other countries. You know, the Christians in North Korea and the Christians in China and the Christians in some of these Muslim countries, they are losing their lives regularly for the cause of Christ. And we know nothing about that, you know. It's so foreign to us. And yet, we need to remain faithful. God has called us to be faithful. And even though it's a little bit difficult now to stand up for God and do what is right, we need to do it. We need to stand up for the Lord and to live a separated, godly life that would bring glory to the Lord and to remain faithful to Him. Now, Jeremiah's faithful service, he served under several kings. He began his ministry under Josiah. Josiah was a good king. He was one of the only good king that Jeremiah served under. And he was a faithful, good king. Started when he was young, but then the Lord blessed him throughout his years. And about 5 years after God called Jeremiah to preach, in the year 623, Josiah repaired the temple. Remember, they went to the temple and they were cleaning the temple. He said, I want you to clean out the temple. And so he had all the priests in there cleaning out all the rubbish and trash. I mean, I can't really imagine. The temple was a big building, but how could it get that much junk in it that you don't even know what's in it? But there was lots of stuff piled in all the corners and all this, you know, and so they're cleaning it all out. And as they were digging all the junk out that was in there, they found the scrolls of Deuteronomy. And when they found the scrolls, they said, ooh, this is the scrolls. We better take this to the king. They took it to the king and they read it to him. And how did Josiah respond? He tore his clothes and said, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble because we've done exactly what that book said not to do. And he repented genuinely from his heart, and he required the people of the land to repent and to do what's right and to worship God. And they broke down the idols and they broke down all the altars, and they tried to get rid of all the bad things that had been coming on all these years. But he did it from his heart, but the people did it just because the king said to do it. And they don't seem to have any real heart to it at all. And that's sad. But at the time, it looked good. Everybody seemed to be happy, but later we see that it didn't last. And as they're cleaning and repairing there, it was Hilkiah, the priest, that found the book of the law in there. So I really don't think this Hilkiah was Jeremiah's dad. It was another Hilkiah. Now, in 622, Jeremiah is prophesying while Josiah is trying to purify the land. So Jeremiah is preaching and saying, get right with God. And Josiah is saying, yeah, we got to clean up the land, get rid of all these altars. And remember, when Manasseh was king, he put altars everywhere. Every street corner, it says, had altars on them to all these false gods. They were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping the sun. They were worshiping all kinds of things, of the evil things and the stars in the sky. And they were worshiping all sorts of things. And they had altars all over the place for these things. And so they're working at tearing these down, breaking them down, destroying them. And Josiah's working diligently at this. And he makes a covenant with the people. And he says, we're going to make a covenant, and you need to get right with God, and you need to do what is right. We read about this covenant back in 2 Chronicles. I want to just read that to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles 34. And as I mentioned a week or so ago, it would do you good to take notes, write notes in the margins of your Bible. It would be a real help to you if you do that as we work our way through here. And the notes are all on the website, and I'll have the audio on the website shortly after tomorrow sometime. 2 Chronicles 34 and verse number 32, it says, and he caused, this is Josiah, caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. He made this covenant. It talks about the covenant in verse number 30. Let me read the latter part of verse 30. It says, and he read in their ears all the words of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And so then he, in verse number 32, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, and the covenant of their fathers, and Josiah took all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and he made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord and the God of their fathers. So he made them to serve. All right? So, you know, you can't force people to worship God. Oh, you can force them to go through the act. It's what he did. But he couldn't force them to change their hearts. And you know, deep down inside, I can preach and preach and preach and preach and holler and scream and carry on, but I can't force you. You got to have a choice in your own heart. You got to choose in your heart to say, I want God's blessing in my life. I want God's power in my life. And so we need to ask God individually to revive our hearts. In 612 BC, the Medes and the Babylonians combined to conquer Nineveh. Alright, so Nineveh's over here, and remember what are the two prophets that prophesied about Nineveh? Who's the first one? Jonah. That's the easy one. Who's the second one? Nope. You got the N right. Nahum. Alright, Nahum. Okay, so Jonah preached there to try, and they got a revival, and God spared them. And then years later, Nahum said, they've turned their back on God again. God's going to wipe them out this time. And God did. And that happened in 612 when the Medes and the Babylonians, so the Babylonians and the Medes, I'm not sure, I think they were over in this area somewhere, and they joined together and they destroyed Nineveh, totally wiped it out. And destroyed the city according to Nahum's prophecy. And he had prophesied that back in 663. So this is over 50 years earlier he had made this prophecy. And then it was fulfilled then in 612. Then in 609, Josiah was killed in battle. Josiah had, there's a lot of things like this. You think, why would God allow this? But yet God told him that Josiah, he said, Josiah, you will die in peace. Even though your grandfather was wicked, and I'm going to destroy the nation, and I'm going to destroy the people because they're so wicked, you've turned your heart back to me and you will die in peace. Well, it wouldn't really say he died peacefully, but he died without seeing all this happening. All right? So the Egyptians were coming up, and they were going to have a battle up in here with the Assyrians. And he saw them coming, and he decided, I'm going to go out there and stop them. Well, and the Egyptians told him, don't meddle with us. Leave us alone. Mind your own business. But he wouldn't listen. He went to battle with them anyway, and he died in battle. And so he was 39 years old when he died in battle. And that was in 609. A sad day. And Jeremiah mourned and lamented over that. You can see that in 2 Chronicles 35, 25, and also in Jeremiah 22, 10, and other places where Jeremiah is mourning over the death of Josiah. Now, Jeremiah served then not only under Josiah, but he also served under Josiah's son, Jehoahaz. Now, these names can really get kind of twisted in your mind if you're not careful. And sometimes I have to really scratch my head and think about them again because they have two or three names. Jehoahaz was the king here, and he reigned for 3 months. He was the middle son of Josiah. Josiah had three sons, or at least, and he was the middle of the three. And so he was took the throne, and he's also called Shalom. Jeremiah calls him Shalom in Jeremiah 22:11-12. It's pretty obvious that it's the same guy because of the details that are described. So Shalom or Jehoahaz, same guy. So you need to kind of tuck that in your mind in order to keep that from getting messed around. And then Jeremiah served under Jehoiakim. Now Jehoiakim reigned for 11 years. And he was a bad king as well. And he was the one that gave Josiah a lot of, or Jeremiah a lot of problems. Probably not as much as Zedekiah maybe, but he gave him a lot of problems during his 11 years. And in 608, Necho, the king of Egypt, came up and he dominated Jerusalem. And at that time, he took Jehoahaz and bound him in chains, took him down to Egypt, and Jehoahaz died in Egypt as a slave and a prisoner. And then he took Jehoiakim, another of Josiah's sons, the oldest one. His name used to be Eliakim, and he changed his name to Jehoiakim. and he put him on the throne. So Necho, king of Egypt, put him on the throne, said, all right, you reign, behave yourself. And he made him swear by the Lord that he would obey and do right. Well, that didn't last very long. He didn't care about the Lord, and he didn't do what he said he would do. And Necho wasn't very happy about that. And it was during this time that Habakkuk wrote his book. So you read the book of Habakkuk, and you see how it all fits in together there in light of that. Now, Jeremiah was about 43 years old at this time, in 605, when just a couple of years later. In 605, Jeremiah was 43. Daniel would have been about 23. And Ezekiel would have been about 17. All right, so it kind of gives you an idea, these fellas. Now, those three men, Jeremiah prophesied in Jerusalem. Daniel went to captivity in 606 in the first batch of captives that went. Daniel went with them. Ezekiel went in the second batch of captives to Babylon in 597. All right, and then, so these three men were the prophets. Ezekiel prophesied Babylon, and so did Daniel. Wasn't necessarily prophesying, but he was ministering there, and God used him in many ways there in Babylon. Now you can read about that in Daniel, and then in several places in Jeremiah as well. Now in 604, Jehoiakim burned Jeremiah's books. Alright, so Jeremiah wrote a book, and he had Baruch write it down for him. Jeremiah talked it out, and Baruch was the scribe and wrote it all down to him. And then God says, all right, I want you to have Baruch take it to the leaders of the nation and read it to them. And he did, and they said, whoa, the king's going to want to hear about this. And so they said, and some of them were kind enough, and that was a blessing. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to that part. But some of them said, all right, Jeremiah, you and Baruch better go hide, because the king is not going to be happy about this. And so they did. They went and hide. Actually, God tells us later on that God hit them, because the king was out to get them. And God hit them, couldn't find them. But when the book was read before the king took it, cut it into shreds, threw it into the fire. Had no respect for the word of God that God had just given to them. So that was in 604. And Jehoiakim rebelled against Babylon. And then Nebuchadnezzar wasn't going to put up with that. All right, by this time, Babylon had come and put them under guard and told them exactly what they're supposed to do. And Jehoiakim, he obeyed for a little while, but then he says, forget it, I'm not going to obey them anymore. And Nebuchadnezzar came, bound him, and said, all right, you're heading to Babylon. And yet, as you read through the whole text, and we'll get more of it when we get into that section, it appears that he never made it past the outskirts of Jerusalem. He was bound in chains, headed for Babylon, but then he died. And Jeremiah prophesied, Jehoiakim, you're going to die like the death of a donkey. And you're going to be buried like a donkey, just left out in the field for the birds to eat. And that's exactly what happened to him. He apparently died on the way to Babylon. They just chucked him over the side and left him there. And so that was Jehoiakim. Not a good situation here. And so then Jeremiah served under Jehoiachin. Now Jehoiachin was the son of Jehoiakim. Right. So this was right in here. Jehoiachin. All right. So Jehoiachin now is the new king, and he only reigned for a very short time, 3 months. And he finally surrendered. He was one of the wise ones. Jeremiah kept telling him, surrender to Babylon and you'll live. Nobody would listen. Now, I'm not sure why he did, but he did. He surrendered. He went out and surrendered to Babylon, and they took him into chains and carried him off to Babylon, and he lived out his life there. And eventually, I believe it was him anyway, that the Babylonians brought out of prison after many years in prison, many years, like 20 or 30 years in prison, and brought him out of prison and let him spend the rest of his life sitting at the king's table. God was very merciful to him. But then after he was gone, then there was Zedekiah. Zedekiah was the last of the kings. And this was Josiah's third son, Zedekiah. And he was the final king of Judah. And Nebuchadnezzar heads back to Babylon in 597. This is the second dispatch. Remember, there's three trips to Babylon. with captives. 606, that's when Daniel and a bunch of people went. And 597, there was 10,000 people he took back. And that was when Ezekiel went back. And so that was in 597 that these went back. Now at this time, Jeremiah is 51 years old now. He's 51. He's been preaching for all those years. And people haven't listened. He kept telling them, get right with God, you're going to go to captivity. They wouldn't listen. And so they head back there, and this is the time when Ezekiel and Jehoiachin are taken back to Babylon in 597. And Jeremiah's persecution reaches its climax now under Zedekiah. Zedekiah really didn't like Jeremiah. And he gave him all kinds of trouble and all kinds of persecution, especially as the siege of Jerusalem got to be fierce. The Babylonians came and they besieged Jerusalem and just, you know, forced them so there's nobody could come in or out and starved them out. And it was a sad, disgusting end for Jerusalem as the people starved to death in Jerusalem and began eating their own children. And, you know, he talks about them eating their own urine and, or drinking their own urine and eating their own feces and eating their children. It was disgusting. They were starving. We can't comprehend that kind of hunger. And it was a sad end for them. And then Jeremiah served under one more king. He served under Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar took over. He was the king now. And Nebuchadnezzar set up Gedaliah as the governor over Jerusalem. And Gedaliah was loyal to Nebuchadnezzar. And Jeremiah was loyal to Nebuchadnezzar. And after the captivity, God took care of Jeremiah. That is so cool. I mean, how did Nebuchadnezzar know who Jeremiah was? How did he know that he was a good guy that was faithful to the Lord? But God made sure that Nebuchadnezzar and his servants knew, and when they captured the city, they killed all the people that were giving them a hard time, and they took the rest of them into captivity as slaves, and Jeremiah, the king, gave him a present of money and said, you can go anywhere you want, you're free. And he had been a prisoner for years, and now God sets him free. And so he is loyal then to Gedaliah, and then Gedaliah is assassinated, and the people that assassinated Gedaliah said, we don't trust Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to Egypt. And they said, Jeremiah, you check with God and see if that's what God wants us to do. And Jeremiah said, no, God doesn't want you to go to Egypt. And they said, oh, we don't care what you say, we're going to Egypt anyway. And they forced Jeremiah to go with them, and no one knows for sure how Jeremiah died. But tradition states that down in Egypt, the people that took him down there got so fed up with him and all of his prophecies that they stoned him to death. We don't know for sure, but that very well could have happened. That's what tradition says. Now, truly, Jeremiah was a fruitless prophet. None of us enjoy feeling like, I'm wasting my time. I mean, when you plant a garden and it all dies, you think, why did I bother? You're doing your job and everything goes wrong and you say, why did I bother? There's got to be something better to life than this. I'm getting nowhere. And Jeremiah felt that desperately. At one, more than one time in Jeremiah's life, he said, I can't keep doing it. I'm not going to see anymore. I'm not going to preach anymore. And then he says, yes, but in my heart, the word of God burned and I couldn't keep my mouth shut and I had to go back to preaching. He couldn't keep quiet. For 41 years, he preached the word of God faithfully over and over again. And the people hated him. They put him in the dungeon. They beat him. They put him in the stocks. They treated him like dirt. They scorned him. He had a miserable, difficult, difficult life. And yet he was faithful to God all the way to the end. And God met his needs. And you know, even though the people rejected his preaching, he did have a few friends. Thank the Lord for that. His ministry seemed like a failure, and yet he was faithful and fulfilled God's will for his life. And you know, that's all that God asks of us. God is asking you and me to be faithful to him and to fulfill his will for your life. Whatever that may be that God wants you to do. It may be that God wants you to just be a faithful church member and just serve Him faithfully and try to be a witness for Christ. It may be that God would have some of you on the mission field preaching the gospel to people that have not heard the truth. It may be that God would call some of you to be preachers or to be serving God in some of the capacity. I don't know what God may have for your life, but you need to be praying and saying, God, open my eyes, show me your will. Remember the psalmist when he wrote in Psalm 86:11, he said, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And we need to be praying like that and say, God, you show me what you want and I'll do it. And once you know what God wants you to do with your life, then faithfully serve God day in and day out until the end. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. We need to press on. One last little thought as we conclude. He is no failure who fulfills the will of God. He is no failure who fulfills the will of God. And if you will do that, even if you look at it from a human perspective and you look back at your life and say, what have I done? I have nothing to show for. If you fulfilled the will of God, you did right. And God will bless that. And so, folks, tonight, one of the greatest things that you can do is to find the will of God for your life. And then do it.